Good morning. As the song says, we are standing on holy ground. And after my studying this week, I'm like, I hope you believe what is in God's word. I really do. What I'm about to share with you is that many Christians do not believe in the errancy, infallible word of God. I will tell you what will shipwreck your life more than anything. It's when you think you got an answer to your problems. Because you don't. He does. Our opinions run us aground. Our opinions shipwreck us. There's only one perfect opinion. And it's not even an opinion. There's only one perfect way. It is the way of the Lord. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Ephesians 4 for a moment. I'm going to share some other scriptures with you today. I want to share with you today where the church is in the United States. I want to share it with you today. And I believe that there's always hope in the Lord. But it's not going to look good, what I'm going to tell you. It's not going to look good. And if you got blinders on, you need to take your blinders off. But I am reminded that Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So we know that. That's a good thing. And gotta remember, we may be a part of this church locally, but that doesn't get you into heaven. You need to be part of God's church, His bride, okay? So there is the church. In Ephesians chapter 4, starting verse 11, he says, and He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, or to the measure or the stature of the fullness of Christ, that which we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about and with every wind of doctrine, but the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitfulness plotting, but speaking the truth in love, and may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective word by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. A pastor's role, a teacher's role, is to teach biblical truth. Okay? Biblical truth. That's what we are called to do. We are called to preach biblical truth to you. How do we do that? Well, one, we have to study God's Word. We have to spend time in prayer and into God's Word. We have to wrestle with some scriptures that we might be struggling with on understanding. We may find a commentary. We might find some other individuals. And we may talk to some of them. We need to dive into the scriptures, but we will always end up back into the Word of God. That is the way it is supposed to be, with much prayer. With much prayer, we will be doing that. And I hope my voice does not squeak like a 12-year-old like it did Wednesday. That was just horrible. If I wasn't preaching, I would have just walked right out. It didn't squeak once. It just kept squeaking. So I told them on Wednesday, I am not 12 anymore. I'm far from it. But God's Word is, God equipped us with an amazing gift. He equipped us with so much. But the Word of God is so precious. It is very precious. I'm not going to give you all the verses, but I'm going to reference you to some places from time to time. One of those places is Ephesians 6, where the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and darkness, rulers, and all those evil components, all the demonic. So that's where we wrestle. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, I want you to go there and I want to look at something. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, "Now the Spirit expressively says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron." But he says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith. In the latter times, there would be a falling away. I will tell you, since COVID came, the church has been rapidly falling. People have been falling out of the church rapidly. Do not think that this is something that is man-made. I'm talking about this whole thing. All this no money shortage, all this kind of stuff, all these hornets coming from here and all this stuff. And don't think that. All the politicians, all that. We can say, I despise this person, I despise that person. Listen, you need to know what's really working amongst this person, that, whatever it all is. Listen, there is things going around and around you right now. If you do not understand God's word, you are going to miss it. You're going to fall. You're going to fall in some areas that you don't need to fall into. You need to be in God's word and pay attention. I am not saying the end is here. I am not saying, but the Bible says we need to be prepared for the second coming of Christ. And we need to be ready with a life that is glorious to God, living it in a righteous way, which means to be living Christ-like. Not to be found, not living that way. But if any of you are spiritually walking in the Lord right now, and I believe many of you are, you'll know, and you have your spiritual eyes on, you'll know that there is much evil moving in America. Now, many of you will sit there and think that I'm talking all about politics. No, I'm talking about in the pulpit. Recently, we know of a priest, two women having sex on an altar. We have fighting going on in all denominations, including the Southern Baptists right now. I want to write a letter and say, quit talking about business all the time and start talking about Jesus. Southern Baptist has got fat with millions of dollars. I'm talking millions of dollars. I am very thankful for the Southern Baptists in many ways. I am very thankful for them helping us here at New Life Fellowship in our first 3 years. Helping us with some finances, helping in 2012, helping me go full time. Helping our ministries this last year with a $20,000 gift. But that is those are tools that God has used and given to us through the Southern Baptists. But the Southern Baptists on the other side has gotten very big and very fat with money. It's okay to be rich. As long as you use it the way God wants you to. And when we start talking about more of other things instead of Jesus Christ, we need to be paying attention. Salvations are down everywhere, and everywhere in every denomination, salvations are down right now. Baptism waters are not stirring very much. There was a turn in the tide for some things. I don't want to get all up into what Southern Baptists are dividing on right now. Because it's just like what's going on in America. You can keep your eye over here on this one, and all of a sudden there's something else over here. There's division and splitting and anger and lawsuits over here and all this stuff. Listen, when your own denomination is getting into the lawsuits, it goes against the Word of God, in my opinion. Maybe Southern Baptist is not the only one. There's Episcopal Church right now going through it with the Episcopal because he refused to do a same-sex marriage. And now he's in hot water. But our role as pastors are to teach you, and the teachers are to teach you biblical truth. Now, I don't know if it's our fault or if it's the congregation's fault. I think it's both fault. I think we're at all fault. Pastors don't want to preach biblical truth, which means they'll preach some of it, but they don't want to preach the things that may lose the audience, as they want to call it, an audience. Well, you're not an audience. You're part of the flock. And they won't talk about the hotter things. They won't talk about the things that push against the lifestyles of what America likes to do. So pastors are struggling and they are not doing what they need, and not preaching and not teaching. But also, how can you teach a flock when they only want to come once a month? They don't pick up the Word of God. They only pray when they're going, their mom or dad's at the hospital. They only come when they want. So Barna did a research. You know Barna, they do good research. I'm going to share a couple of things. Is that okay with you? I didn't write these. This is from a research. They ask, it's biblical teaching. People are not basically good, but we are sinners. Now this is biblical truth, okay? People are not basically good. We are sinners. Amen? You believe that? We are called evangelical. We are an evangelical church. 75% of those that they surveyed in evangelical churches, which we are part of that, 75% do not believe in that biblical statement. They do not believe in that biblical statement. I'm not going through all of them. I'm just going through a few. Another one. The Holy Spirit is not just a symbol of God's power, or presence, or purity, but is real. An influential being. 58% said that wasn't true. That was evangelical. Pentecostal, 66%, which I don't understand that. Catholics were 74%. They didn't believe it. There are absolute, now this is another one, there are absolute moral truths that apply to everyone all the time, which is the word of God is infallible. 52% of evangelicals said that's not true. Pentecostals and mainline churches, with mainline churches are a little more liberal, Catholic, they're all much higher. Here was a big one. Biblical truth. People cannot earn a peace in heaven. People cannot earn their place in heaven by being good or by doing enough good works. We believe that. The people don't get to heaven by being good or by doing enough good works. 58% of evangelicals said they don't believe in that. 85% of Catholics didn't believe in it. They don't believe that's true. Kind of weird. The Pentecostals are 49%. Here's another one. When Jesus was on earth, he was fully human, but he did not sin. That's a biblical truth. Jesus was on earth, and he was fully human, and he did not sin. 43% of evangelicals said he did sin. He had to sin. 66% of Catholics. The Bible is the word of God, is a trustworthy, infallible word, reliable. 26% of evangelicals said they didn't believe that, that there are errors in the Bible. 53% Catholics. Here's a big one. Ready for this one? 69% of the Pentecostals and charismatic group prefer socialism over capitalism. You wonder why we're in a mess? We may have some differences with these groups. But if you're a believer, you can't have differences with the Word of God. You may have differences in some theology things, some doctrinal issues. But salvation is by grace and grace alone, not by works. At least any man should boast. Not by being good. But by accepting Christ and understanding that we are a sinner, for the Bible says we're all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You see, you'll believe anything if you don't read the Bible. Your ears will be open. They'll be itchy to all kinds of things when you don't read your Bible. We are in a mess in America. We are in a mess, and the church is the place to get it straight. Do not be looking. We need to vote. We need to do those things. But I'm telling you, do not think a person is going to fix this mess. This is a spiritual problem in America. It is in the pulpits is where it started. And then it flowed into the sanctuary, the flock. We see this all through the Old Testament. We see it through all through the Old Testament. Malachi is not about just, will a man rob God? It's the prior chapters, where the first chapter where God is saying, you priests. He just slams them because they are not being priests of God. They're being priests of the world. Even Jesus came and he was harder on the priest. He was harder on the Pharisees and the Sadducees than he was anyone else, because they kept putting more and more on top of people. And they weren't even doing what they said themselves. And they were greedy for money. And they thought they could get to heaven because they were just a Jew. That's not what Jesus taught. That's not what Jesus is teaching us. In 2 Timothy, Paul is writing to Timothy again. And he gets into this area just a little bit more deeper in chapter 3. In verse 1 he says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. That means it's going to get tough. We haven't seen hardship yet. Go to China and try to be a Christian. Go to parts of Africa where the Muslims and them and all the groups are killing Christians. And I will tell you this, you cannot believe the news you read or hear. I'm not trying to be negative, I'm just telling you what it is. But if there's one thing I can't believe, I can believe the Word of God, that it's true. You either believe it or you don't. And if you don't, I would really like to know, what do you really believe in? But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. We see that more than anything today. People love themselves to a point that they want to lift up themselves. There is no pride. There's no room for pride in a relationship with God. He will humble you so fast. For the lovers of themselves, lovers of money, and boasters, and proud, and blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. We see a lot of that going on right now. I loved it when I seen some of the riots were beginning, the protesting, started with the protesting. And I seen a couple of parents go out there and yank their kids right back home. I remember being in Germany. Me and Carla went shopping at the military, the PX, or what have you. But anyway, I remember military guys, sometimes they would discipline in different ways. And because in the military, there's a lot of discipline there. I remember saw somebody take his little 8-9-year-old who just was smarting off and everything, and wasn't going to tolerate that, and just kind of picked his ear up just a little bit higher than it's supposed to be. Tiptoed him right across the street. Did that hurt him? It may be at the moment, but I'm telling you, what was he learning? He was learning not to smart off like he did in public like that. He was learning not to be disrespectful, but to be respectful. Today, don't do that. I'm just telling you, there's no discipline in the home. There's no discipline in the home. There's even supposed to be discipline in the church. And you know, we've had to do that a few times. I hate doing that. But there's supposed to be discipline and there's supposed to be order. And right now everybody is doing, many people are just doing whatever they want to do. Let me tell you, God is looking at America and he's looking at America and he's seeing what we do as a nation. And we're law, and lost people do what lost people do. But when you're a Christian, he's going to look at you. And the Bible says he disciplines those whom he loves. And if your life isn't going the way that you think it should be, and you think God should be blessing you for everything and all the things you're praying for, take a step back and look at your life. Ask God to let you see your life as he sees it. And you might not think that, you may find out that you aren't all that. And don't justify a sin. Because it's okay for you, but not for someone else. Because you'll fall right into this gap. He says they're unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. Isn't it true that what was good is now is bad? And what is bad is now good? He says they're traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying his power, and from such people turn away. What are you saying here? He says there are people that look godly, but they look godly, but they're not godly at all. Do people know that you're a Christian without telling them? Does your life show that you are a Christian? Does it mirror the image of Christ? We need help. And the only one that can help us is the Lord. And the way that it works is, we have to humble ourselves, we have to pray, and we have to seek his face. We have to get back in the book. We have to get back in God's word. I'll tell you this. My father was a deacon, and I'm telling you, there was a time when the deacon title was very revered in church, let alone the pastor, let alone the pastor's wife, let alone the teachers of Sunday school, those people. It used to be, I seen a deacon, or my brother, we see deacon, we would turn around and think of that deacon, oh my, we tightened up as kids. We tightened up. We made sure we were on our best behavior. What's happened? These statistics that we just read, I don't want New Life to fall into that. I will tell you, if we fall into that categories, I'm telling you, our blessings will cease. The flow of blessings will dry up, and it will dry up quickly. The only reason that God is blessing us is because we're trying to be faithful. It's not because we have a special name or you got a special pastor or we've been through hard times or whatever. Listen, God bless us for the things in the past. But I'm telling you, you want to keep being blessed today, you got to do what's right today. You can't live off them old testimonies. Those were great for its time. You can revisit them, but you got to have fresh testimony today. So if you say the last time I felt the Holy Spirit was when I got baptized, you better revisit your relationship with Christ. You don't want to fall back on something that was 10, 15, 20 years ago. You need to be fresh today, because you will fall into this group faster than anything. So you see, the church is not influencing the world anymore. The world is influencing the church. And we were forewarned about it in the 80s. We were forewarned about this, and it started kicking in the 90s. Let's be sensitive. Phil Jones might have heard this. We be seeker sensitive. Which means we can't preach about the blood. We can't preach about the cross. We got to preach that God loves everyone. And we're going to speak partial truths, but we're not going to talk about the whole truth. Ask Willow Creek about that. And they said, we made a big mistake. We had a big front door and everybody was coming in. But we turned around and the back door was just as big. The discipleship. We weren't strong in discipleship. Listen, coming to Christ is not just being a Christian is not just coming to Christ. That's just step one. It's living out your life as a Christian till the day you breathe your last. And none of us know how long that we have. None of us know how long that we have. But you have the moment that you're here right now. He moves down to verse 10. He encourages him with these things here. But you have certainly followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance. Paul also had taught, follow my example. Now, a lot of people say, don't do that. Listen, as a Christian, we all should be able to say that to one another. Follow my example. Follow my life and example. Now, I would not do this, but I know if I had said show of hands, how many of you would not want anybody to follow your life example? Right now, where you are right now, there would be a lot of hands up. And that makes us part of the problem. Because we're still hooking into the world, letting the world influence us instead of you influencing the world. He says in verse 11, persecutions and afflictions which happened to me at Antioch and at Lycia and Lycia. What persecutions I endured and out of them all the Lord delivered me. And yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Somewhere you'll suffer persecution as being a believer. Maybe it's in your own family. Maybe you've become a Christian and your parents haven't, and they ridicule you for it. Some of you shared that. Some of you know that when you walk into the family reunion, you walk into the Christmas big dinner or whatever it is, you show up for this family function at a wedding or a funeral, and you know in the spirit that they're kind of talking about you. You may not know everything, but you just know. Because they're talking because you are the Christian now coming in. But some are persecuted much more than just words. They're persecuted by physical pain and suffering as they do across the great ocean and the other side of the world. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Never have you seen in America a shutdown of churches. I don't care what we were going through, you don't shut down a church. It is the place of hope. It is the place of hope. Do you believe that God can part the sea again? Just ask it. Do you believe that someone can be laying flat out dead and you can pray over them and if God can rise that person back up? Do you believe that? Do you believe that someone that can't see, that God can have them see again? Let me tell you something. You walk long enough and faithful enough in the Lord, you'll see a miracle. I'm just saying. You may just be part of one. We've got to quit thinking God is sitting on the throne 100 million miles away watching everything through a telescope. But he's here on the earth and he's active. And he's watching. And he's with us. But imposters, or wolves in sheep's clothing, they're going to get worse. They're going to get worse. Deceiving and being deceived and all that is just so much. And you're not going to know how to work through it unless you have the Holy Spirit. And the only way you get the Holy Spirit is having a relationship with the Father. And the only way you can get a relationship with the Father is through a salvation experience with Jesus Christ. And not just with the experience of having the salvation with Christ, but to be living out. But he says, but you must continue in the things that you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. What we teach you here is what he's saying. You must keep those things that you learned here in your heart, in your mind, and live them out. Don't let them just be go into your ears and fall off. As the word in James says, don't be just hearers of the word, but be doers. You have to be a doer of the word. Listen, you can't split your life into two. I'll go to church. I'll be a part of some things. I'll serve here. But when it's my time, I turn the clock over and I'm going to go do my thing. I want to do my thing. But I know I have my son. Listen, you are fooling yourself and lying to yourself. You're playing in the hands of demonic just the way they want it to. And when you feel like you want to share the gospel because you're feeling good about the Lord one day and you want to share the gospel, they're going to laugh in your face and they're going to call you a hypocrite because you are a hypocrite. And let's be honest, we've all been a hypocrite from time to time. Been a hypocrite from time to time. But we must take what we've learned in our Sunday school classes and we must take what we've learned in the worship and our groups or whatever it is, and take what you've learned and you apply it to your life and live it out. And he goes on, and that from childhood which you have known the Holy Scriptures. There are little ones right now with one piece of paper with three or four words. Trust in the Lord. Doing a coloring book or some kind of thing in the nursery. They are learning God's word. There's some right now in the children's church right now learning a little bit more than just one little line. They're working through it. They work through it through some games, through some songs, through some teaching. They're learning the word. And when they get older, they get into the deeper parts of it and they get to grow in it. Some of you have, how many of y'all grew up into the church? Yes. How many of y'all faded away from the church after you grew up a little bit? And how many of y'all knew that when you got back in, those things started coming back? Yes. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. Folks, that's what it is. You have something holy with you all the time. Yeah, you have the Holy Spirit. But in something that is tangible, something that you can pick up and move around, something you could feel. It is holy. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. This is where it's at. This is the goal that you've been looking for in your life. This is the riches that you're looking for. Not gold and money and silver. This is it. So if I have this in front of me and I apply and I learn from it, I am becoming a stronger person in Christ. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. And if I'm the light of the world, then I need to be shining bright for Jesus. Not dull and let's change the batteries. Let's shine bright. And then he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's all there. It's all in God's word. Now, the Bible says in Leviticus, you don't sleep with your mom. We all agree with that, right? We're just going to get real here for a minute. We don't sleep with a relative. Leviticus tells us, don't do those ugly things. It tells us not to drink blood. It is the living source. You don't drink blood. You notice that the demonic always goes against complete opposite. You notice that? It says don't break your promises. If you make a vow to God, keep it. He'd rather you not make a vow than you to make a vow and break it. A man don't sleep with a man. That's what God's word says. Listen, you either take it all or you don't take it all. You don't take it. It says you don't lie. You don't move property lines. There's a whole bunch of stuff in here. Well, we don't go by the Old Testament anymore. Let me tell you, without the Old Testament, there is no New Testament. The prophetic pieces of the Jesus coming, the branch coming, was written in the Old Testament. Jesus said, I had this one that you love your neighbor as yourself. But we have churches that are telling us that we can do these things. I don't say these things to throw people under the bus. I promise you, I don't say these things to hurt your feelings. But I say these things because God has called me to preach. And if I don't preach His word, then I'm preaching my own. And I'm preaching things that are demonic then. I must preach God's word, and I must study it, and I must see that there are parts that, listen, if it's speaking to you, believe me, when I'm studying it, it's speaking to me. And probably more to me than it is to you. And I got to be faithful. And sometimes the church don't love the pastor. Sometimes churches talk about the pastor. In the meantime, the pastor's praying for the people. Sometimes we are persecuted by our own church family. So what do we do about that? What do we do? How do we do it when we're trying to live a life as a Christian and we're looking around and we watch the news and we're like, it looks like there's no hope. Boy, it looks like everything is falling apart. What am I going to do? How am I going to live in this mess? So much around me. I've been ridiculed for things that I've said, things that I've done. I'm not ridiculed for the things I've done that were bad. I'm being ridiculed for going to church and worshiping. I wrote a couple of things down, I think, that what we can do to keep ourselves focused. Because every one of you will have a moment of fear, and probably already have had since COVID started. Every one of you have had a moment of fear, have had a moment where you were unsure of things. Number one, I read the Word. It's the only thing that's solid in my life, in the sense that whatever's going on around me, whatever, it's the perfect solid piece. Love the Lord and trust Him and obey Him in the good days and the bad days. Love your neighbor as yourself. I got to learn to love those that I don't always agree with. That I know that through Scripture there is more going on than what I can see. Number four, go to church. You don't neglect it. Hebrews tells us, don't forsake the assembling together as some are in the habit of doing. We don't stop going to church. When you stop going to church, you're walking. I feel, especially right now, you're walking away from God. Where was Jesus at when he was in the temple? Where was David at? David said, I long that if there's any place I could go, I need to be back at the temple. Because there's something about it when you walk into the house of God. When you walk into one of the houses of God, you come in and you know that you're there for spiritual things. Also, be doers of the word. I got to be a doer, not just a hearer. I got to pray daily for myself. I do. I need to pray daily for myself. I do that. But I also am reminded by the Holy Spirit to pray for the others, the church, my government leaders, whether I like them or not. I pray for the sick. I pray for those. I got to keep a good, strong, active prayer life. Keeps you healthy, keeps you connected with God. But also I need to serve God. I need to find a place where I can serve God at. You have to use your gifts and your talents for the Lord. I also need to obey the church leaders. I need to do that. Number 10, I need to confess Jesus and not be ashamed of the gospel, not to be ashamed of the name of Jesus in a crowd. Pray when I'm in the restaurant. Pray for people. Openly. I got to share the gospel. Can't stop sharing the gospel. I'm going to be the light in the dark world. I got to remember that this world, my life right now has been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been bought. I know that right now we're going through a race thing in our country. Listen, I am a slave. I am a slave to Jesus Christ. He bought me with the price of his life. I am his. He treats me better than I deserve. The scripture says that mercies are new every morning. He says he'll never leave me nor forsake me. If I trust in him, he'll make my path straight. Short version. But I am a slave to Christ, and you can't take that away from me. And I wouldn't let you if you could. I love my master. He's been good to me. He's been good to me. And how all do I do all this in my life? How do you do this in your life? You can't. But Scripture again tells us I can do all things through Christ. It strengthens me. I can't do it, but I can do it Him. And I will have no excuse standing before God and giving an account how I have no excuse. My failures are my own. They're my own. Because he's equipped me with an eternal salvation. Praise God. Amen? You got that? Heaven is my home. We're just passing through. Heaven is my home. I am a citizen. You are a citizen if you're a believer. Citizen. Heaven. God's family. You're an ambassador now for Christ. And I'm to live my life the way he wants me to in this moment. I was not born in 1920. I was not born in 1700s or the 1600s or the 30s. I was born when I was born. And I'm living in this moment right now. For whatever reason, God has me doing what I'm doing, and he has you doing what you're supposed to be doing. If you're playing around with the things you shouldn't be playing, I'm telling you, the snake will bite. You stick your hand in a snake's nest, it will bite. Get out of those dens. The pornography, the drugs, the alcohol. Listen, it'll steal and kill your life. And if you manage to live 50, 60, 70 years, I'm telling you, it will steal your life. And it has already stolen it. The Bible says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You don't care how he does it. His goal is to take you out. Now, with all those things we talked about, it always comes down to what are you going to do? Are you going to be one of the faithful few? Or are you going to fall into the masses? Now fall. The Bible says, well, narrow is the gate. Now wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many find it. It's not impossible. It's only through Christ, people. Let's stand.